touch with Michigan and the world.
Brother bought a coconut, bought it for a dime. His sister had an order, what she paid for a lot. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank a bowl up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank a bowl up. Put the lime in the coconut, she drank a bowl up.
All right, welcome back to it. So I have a good friend, a lot of friends that are in agriculture, but one friend who's outspoken on GMOs, genetically modified organisms, and so forth. And a new study that I posted here recently said that there is no danger, and science is coming to the point that there's no danger with genetically modified organisms. I defy you, in fact, to find a genetically modified organism that they can prove is dangerous, and moreover, find corn in this country that isn't, or wheat, or rice. This friend of mine, by the way, who is a farmer here in southern Michigan. Has told me that in recent years, the production per acre of grain crops has gone up manyfold just since 1980. Why? Because of GMOs. Because they are resistant to drought. They're resistant to insects and other pests. They make it possible to feed the world. And yet some do-gooders just don't get it. Our next guest, Aaron Bakst, studies and writes about agriculture subsidies, property rights, environmental policy, food labeling, related issues at the Heritage Foundation in agricultural policy. Darren, welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So, all right, GMOs, you know, and the other boogeyman, of course, is Monsanto, but that's for another day, I suppose. But, you know, I've read a lot because I see this on social media that GMOs are this and GMOs are that. But, you know, I was raised in the shadow of Michigan State University. An agricultural land-grant college that, along with other schools in the Big Ten and in the Midwest and around the country, including places like Texas A&M, for example, that's where they spend their time creating better food sources, more pest-resistant plants, and so on and so forth. And somehow, somewhere, the green do-gooders have decided this is their next target and this is a problem. Let's bring some truth to it, Darren.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a compliment call many of these people that are opposing it to be do-gooders. It's quite honestly, I understand some people like to see labeling of the genetically engineered food, but, you know, there's a reason why there's no evidence that there being any harm, and that's because, you know, genetic engineering is simply a process. It's not necessarily, it's not the actual makeup of the corn or the cotton or the soybeans that we're talking about. In fact, if the genetic engineering actually changes any material aspect of the corn, then that already has to be labeled. If there's some type of allergen as part of the corn related to the genetic engineering, that has to be labeled. But the process itself shouldn't be labeled because there's no evidence at all that there's any harm associated with the process of it.
So why would they go to all this trouble to make it sound like we have to make people aware of this, because they have this, I don't get this notion that somehow a GMO, which, again, is it even possible to find corn in this nation, whether it's sweet corn in the field along by a farm stand or field corn that feeds livestock and so forth, can you even find non-genetically modified corn left anywhere?
There's not much. You know, it's important, like, for thousands of years we've kind of genetically modified food, but it's been the last 20 to 30 years that we've kind of used this process called genetic engineering, which is just more precise. I mean, if you looked at corn from hundreds of years ago, it's nothing like what we think of now. It's just completely different. And it's about 93-94% of corn is genetically modified in the U.S., and at least genetically engineered.
So if I buy cornflakes, let's be honest. If I buy cornflakes from Kellogg's, a great Michigan company, by the way, the fact of the matter is it's a GMO food. Has been since I've been alive. And since I've been alive, I might add, Darren, just in my lifetime alone, the life expectancy of Americans has gone up 18%. 18%. And yet we're consuming cornflakes and, you know, and all these other products that are clearly improved by science, better living through science. I mean, when did Michigan State University and Ohio State and the University of Minnesota and these other land-grant colleges, agricultural schools in their origins and their basis, and still today, Michigan State, one of the leading agricultural schools in the world, they basically became the target. I mean, because that's what you're talking about. The research that these scientists have done my entire life and beyond are the targets here.
Yeah, and there's just been a lot of scare tactics out there, and it's just taken on a life of its own, this attack on GMOs. You know, it's one thing to say, look, I want to know what's in my food. So guess what? What happens is companies do respond to that. If people want to know whether or not there's foods, you know, non-GMO or GMO, the companies will respond accordingly. And there are ways to find out. Organic, there's non-GMO labels. The problem here from a policy perspective is that a lot of the people that want to know this information, they don't simply want, you know, companies kind of voluntarily disclose it. They want companies to mandatorily, I know you'd use the power of government to force companies to disclose whether or not it's been genetically modified. And my question is, why do you need the government to do that when you already have companies and all these different labels telling you when food is not genetically modified? It makes no sense to me. You're not really getting any information. And it's like having, you know, being looking for gluten-free food and then demanding, you know what, I want all other food that's not gluten-free to say non-gluten-free. That makes no sense.
Yeah, here's, isn't it, come on, do you laugh like I do when you're walking through, you know, a store and here's, a steak? Gluten-free. No kidding. Yeah, the meat is gluten-free. Don't you think it should be? Or I saw a package of almonds someplace that was gluten-free. No kidding. Almonds are gluten-free. I would expect that. It's gluten-free is like just a hook to get more money out of people's pockets, from what I can tell.
Well, you know, for a lot of that, that's true. There are some people that do need the gluten-free. Yeah, but the market responds. The companies will indicate that something's gluten-free. There are people that, you know, do have a problem with gluten. But the point is that the people that are concerned with gluten don't then expect every product that happens to not be gluten-free to say that. In other words, the labeling of mandatory labeling of GMOs is simply a way to create kind of a negative connotation with GMOs. It's really kind of an anti-GMO effort. It's not an effort to really find out whether that food has GMOs or doesn't have GMOs, because you can already find that out through these voluntary efforts by companies that participate, you know, develop organic products and or voluntarily disclose whether or not, you know, this non-GMO label that exists. So, you know, it's really kind of an attack on GMOs itself, not just the labeling, but just not having GMOs at all, just getting it out of the food supply.
And in fact, when I come back after the break, stick with me, Darren, for just a moment, okay, because when I come back after the break, we're going to talk about one of those attacks on GMOs in general that had no basis in reality and no basis in common sense, no foundation for what it was. I'll explain that when I come back. We'll continue our conversation about GMOs and should you be concerned or not. My feeling is no. I trust the people at Michigan State. I trust the people at Iowa and Minnesota. I do. These are scientists. Their families eat from the same tables we do, for God's sake. 41 after on the Steve Gruber Show.